They dismissed the classes. Okay, the children's church can be dismissed. I want you to know two things. I talk about this building fund. One, that the larger offering that I told you is coming in a month and a half, that's from our church. That's not from someone outside the church. I want you to know that. Number two, I want you to know that I lost thousands of dollars on selling one of my jet skis. I lost it. That could have been my... I could complain and say, well, if I wouldn't have gave my building fund, I wouldn't have had that. I could have applied it there. But no, I told my wife, we'll figure it out. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying whatever God talks to you about, don't worry about anything else. Just be obedient to the Lord. God will take care of everything else. I had several people this week, the last couple weeks. I had one person call me or text me, was excited because the Lord blessed them in their job with a bonus or something. So they said they were happy they could give more to the building fund. Had somebody else text me a picture yesterday of $2,100 bills perfectly laid out, and they said, "Guess what this is?" I thought, "Good God, someone's dealing drugs and they're bragging about it." Thank God it wasn't drugs; it was their building fund, and so. I'm excited that you're excited about it, and I can't wait. I was talking to some folks today. We had a meeting, and how important to have a sensory room and have these classrooms is going to be so important. So I'm really excited, and I got to be honest with you. I really feel like there's going to be a windfall that's going to follow all of this, and I'm excited to see what God has in store. Amen. Luke chapter 23. I don't think I'm forgetting anything. Oh, Brother Fred did ask me last week to thank you for everybody that did and gave for Karen's memorial. And then and still many of you did again for Sister Angel's grandmother. They wanted me to express their sincere appreciation, especially Sister Marcia. I don't think she's here, but she did a lot of work getting all that stuff prepared. And whoever helped her. So thank you very much. It was a lot in a few days span. And so I'm thankful for so many great people that we have. We do. We have great people. We really do. Luke 23:26, as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian coming out of the country. On him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also believed or bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us." Sunday, I felt like we had a great word from the Lord. This Sunday, I'm going to give you what I was supposed to preach last Sunday, which is going to be really exciting, and it's going to minister to you very personally. But today, I would like to preach to you about the three C's of a revival church. The three C's of a revival church. And Colin already prayed, so God bless you. You can be seated. There are a couple things here that I would like to point out to you. The first one is, Jesus could no longer bear the weight of his cross. Now, that's obvious. The Bible doesn't specifically tell us. We see in some of the movies that they have made that Jesus would fall and stumble. The scripture doesn't tell us that, but we know that it came to the point where it was too much for him to bear, and they had to get a passerby to bear his cross. And so Simon happened to be that man, because Jesus no longer was capable of carrying the weight of his cross. Simon was compelled. Why? Because it's very hard to find somebody who's willing to carry another person's burdens. It's very hard to find people that's willing to take on somebody else's cross. We're all doing our own thing. We all have our own lives. And so, without being asked, there aren't a lot of volunteers. Now, I want you to key in on that for a moment. The church is built of volunteers, but there's also a little phrase that's been coined over the years. It's called voluntold. Simon was voluntold because there was no volunteer. Now, by this Sunday, I'm going to have I don't know what you want to call it. It's going to be about a 20, 30, 40 question form that we're going to hand out to everybody. And it's to gauge your strengths, your likes, your dislikes, so we can start getting more people engaged in areas of ministry where they feel it more strongly suits them. We're going to volunteer you because we are still short of volunteers. So it is important that you understand that Simon was not he did not just walk up and say, hey, if you guys need anything, it looks like that cross is getting to be too much for him. Just let me know. I'm willing. He didn't do that. Nobody did that. I would say that the man closest to where Jesus no doubt stumbled or fell was the one they grabbed. So even in Jesus' weakened and weary state, what did he do? He taught us the purpose of that cross. He told them, don't weep for me, but weep for your children. Jesus had the lost. He had the future on his mind while he was crumbling under the weight of his cross. And so I want to say this to you. And I want you to process this statement, if you would. If you don't hear anything else tonight, please hear this. A cross is not easy. The burden that you and I are called to bear in this thing that we call the church is not easy. It may not be easy for you to give into the building fund. It may not be easy for you to come and clean the church on Saturday. It might not be easy for you to come straight from work on a Friday night and go and teach a youth group. It may not be easy for you to jump in a van and go pick people up. It might not even be easy for you just to get here. A cross is not easy. It was never supposed to be easy. That's not what a cross is. Jesus carried the weight of that old tree on his back because he was driven by purpose. Watch this. Jesus would not be broken. He wasn't broken when he prayed in Gethsemane. He was not broken when they took him prisoner. He was not broken by the trials. He could not be broken by his arrest. He could not be broken by the betrayal of those closest to him. He couldn't be broken as they spit upon him. Doesn't sound like much, does it? You ever have someone spit in your face? Some people will kill over something like that. But that didn't break him. He couldn't be broken as they plucked his hair out. Fast forward to the cross. He couldn't even be broken as they drove the nails through his body. But watch. The one thing that broke him was the weight of his cross. The one thing that was too much for Jesus to bear was the weight, the burden that he bare on his back. We know that the weight represented the lost. It represented the world, the sins of the world. But what I'm saying to you tonight is you may overcome anything and everything that comes your way, but the weight of the cross that God calls upon you to carry is going to be the greatest thing that you'll ever have to bear in your life.
And there will be times you will become weary and weakened. You might not understand what it is because we don't have a physical structure on our back. But when you get weary and you feel discouraged or you feel like quitting, that's because the weight of the cross that you're carrying is getting to be too much at that moment. That is why we have a church. Because that will be the time that you'll walk in and somebody, just an encouraging word or a prayer or somebody offering to go out and have coffee with you. You say, well, nobody's asked me that. Have you asked anybody else? Because the Bible says you reap where you sow. But what I'm saying is that's the purpose of the church. The church is like Simon being there at that moment where Jesus no longer could carry the weight of that cross. And they compelled him. He didn't rush to step in. Listen, carrying a cross sometimes is going to mean you are compelled, not you volunteered. You may receive a phone call and say, hey, could you drive the van this summer? I got other things to do. I'm not having my hair done yet. Could you imagine having to stand before God on Judgment Day and say, God, I didn't pick those kids up because my hair wasn't done. You understand? Now, I'm not preaching to a woman or a man. I'm talking to anybody. Just using that as an example. My nails aren't done. I'm not finished. I've told this story many times, but years ago when I was a youth leader, I remember, I'll never forget it. It just burned in my brain. I called some people up, asked them to help me get some kids to youth group because I made 3 trips from Parma to Cleveland and back every Friday night because we didn't have a van at the time. And I still remember, I remember the phone call and he said, oh, I'd love to help you, but we're going to the movies. Now you might say to me, so are you saying they should have canceled their plans? Very possible, yes. A cross is not easy. A cross is not convenient. What God is calling upon us to bear now more than ever, and I'm telling you, this world is rapidly coming to a close. The only thing I continue to think about every time they talk about peace deals is they'll say peace, peace, and then sudden destruction. They'll have their little agreements and all of a sudden it's going to blow up. And I believe that's where we're at with all of my heart. You're trying to scare me. No, but if it does, that's good. Because we need to understand we are living in a time where God is calling upon us to carry our cross. And there will be times it will get too heavy for you. I'm telling you, what I'm trying to explain to you is church was never supposed to be a social club where you come and grab a cup of coffee, sip on it during church service, and then just leave and go home and do what you do. Church is supposed to be a place where we are preparing people to carry crosses. Why? Because as Jesus was moved with compassion by those that were lost, he said, don't weep for me because of the cross that I carry, but weep for yourselves because your children are lost. A cross is not easy. Jesus collapsed under the weight, and that's where the body is supposed to step in. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. That's not a profound scripture. That's not a scripture you're going to run the aisles and swing from what used to be chandeliers. That's not a tongue-talking scripture. That is a simple reality to bear one another's burdens. But I'm going to tell you what I have found. What I have found is I've never felt disenfranchised or deprived by bearing somebody else's burden. I've never felt robbed. I've never got upset at God and said, my God, you know, I'd like to enjoy a little bit of my life. Now, listen, again, I have to say all this stuff all the time. You should take your time. You should take your trips. But when you set that cross down, just do it for a couple days. Don't leave it somewhere in a corner of a closet. You know what happens when that happens? What happened to Israel? They were in sin. It was Ezekiel. Boy, my mind's failing me. Ezekiel, Pastor Klein, before Jeremiah, not Jeremiah, not Isaiah. Hold on, because now it's going to bug me. Nehemiah.
Wasn't Ezekiel that went in? No, it wasn't Ezekiel. Nobody else knows this? My goodness. Hang on, I'm going to look it up. I have an excuse. I'm preaching. I have a brain cramp. You don't have excuses. Oh, Ezra. Ezra went back into Jerusalem before Jeremiah went in to rebuild the walls. Ezra went in for one purpose and one purpose alone, which was to find the law and to read it again to the people. Because at the very least, 80 years had passed since the law was read, and it was supposed to be read every 7 years. So you have got multiple generations that were raised in Babylon with no word, no law, nothing. That's what happens when someone's not willing to carry their cross. At some point, Israel put the word of God down, and they just lived for themselves. And that's what brought Babylon on. That's what brought the invasion. But luckily, there was a scribe, a man by the name of Ezra, that he purposed, the Bible says, that he's going to find the law. He's going to pull it out, and he's going to call all of Israel together and read it. Why? Because without the word, you have nothing. So what am I saying? Sometimes it's not easy going home when you're tired and reading your Bible to your children. It's not easy sometimes grinding it out in the prayer room because you need some answers from God, or you need God to move, or you need God to lift some things off of you. What I'm saying is I don't want you to be deceived. The cross that God is calling us to bear, especially in these last days, is not an easy one. But God has a way of giving the church strength that you can only get from heaven. He has a way of causing us to be excited about carrying the cross and not complaining about it. He has a way of causing us to rejoice in what he places upon our shoulders. And if you don't know that experience, then you're not walking today where God wants you to walk, because everybody should bear a cross. Can you prove? Yes. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. Taking up your cross means self-denial. It means depriving yourself of some things in life. You say, but that's not fair. Life is not about, this is not our eternity. We cannot get that in our brain that we are preparing ourselves for a better place. And my wife told me this week, one thing I love and I appreciate about funerals is it reminds me that this is all coming to a close. And it reminds me that we are living for a better promise. But if you don't think about that, you will find your cross to be a complaint. You'll find your cross to be a burden that you don't want to bear. It's not that you can't, because he gives us the strength that we need, that you don't want to bear. And so the Bible tells us that we are to bear one another's burdens. What that means, again, is when my brother's cross gets too heavy, I've got to be a Simon in his life for a couple days. I've got to be a Simon in her life. And there will come a time that I'll need a Simon. I'll need somebody that's willing to deprive themselves and get on their knees and pray for God to give us a breakthrough. Get on their knees and pray for God to give somebody the very thing that they need to get them through this week, because they have become so overwhelmed with the weight of their cross. That should not discourage you. It should not frustrate you. It should help you to be reminded every day that we have a cross to bear. The church has got to get diligent about our cross. Everybody needs to be on deck with something. Everybody needs to be involved with something. Everybody's got to be helping out somewhere. The day and the hour calls for it. It demands it now more than ever. And yes, I'm not going to lie to you. There are things and pleasures in this life that you will be called upon to sacrifice, that you will be called upon to give up. Again, that is the word, deny yourself. Take up your cross. And so I want to ask you a question. Don't answer out loud.
Can you identify what your cross is? Your cross is not the desire to preach the gospel. That's not a cross. Preaching is the easiest thing you get to do as a pastor. You know why? Because you feel the Holy Ghost. You feel the unction of the Lord. You feel like a Superman. You feel like David, that I can run through troops and jump over a wall. But when you get done, when the complaints come, when the division comes, when the bickering comes, when spiritual attacks come, and sometimes they come one after the other, and then you got family in the middle of all that, and you got this child with this problem, this child with this problem, and then you got your spouse with that problem, and then your car's breaking down, and then the furnace goes out in the house, and then everything else, and then you got problems with your health, and you got this issue going on, that issue going on. You know, it just kind of has a way of just like causing you to forget. Like, I just forgot what the heck I was even talking about, saying all that. I literally did. I'm trying to save face and remember what I was talking about, but I thought better just to be honest. The cross. I still, that didn't help me. Yes! Think about your cross. Now listen, I'm gonna be ultra repetitive. I know you only have my word to go off of, and I know that some of you feel the way I do, but I am telling you, I am convinced if you said, would you put your soul on this statement, I would say 100% yes. I am convinced that the time we have left on this earth is minimal to nothing. I am convinced that global unrest is going to continue to explode until it's completely out of control. There's a new arms race that's happening in our world. And governments are expanding their military capabilities at rates that you've not seen since World War II. You say, well, you know, well, that doesn't mean it's okay. Well, but we're seeing things that we've not seen even in World War II. Conventional warfare is a thing of the past. Governments, the United States government just signed about $115 billion contract. They divvied out the first $5 billion, I think it was, to like six companies, and they are rapidly expanding their AI and their drone technology. They are heavily investing in drone swarms. The state of California next year is supposed to open up their very first humanoid robot factory, and they plan on making and distributing 100,000 humanoid robots a year. Everything that we are witnessing in our world is prophecy that is playing out before our eyes. Don't let the enemy get you distracted now. Don't let him turn you one on the other. Don't take your eyes off of your cross and off of your calling. Don't take your eyes off of your family. Watch them like you'd watch your child playing by the roadside. But in a spiritual sense, watch their prayer life. Watch what they do. Watch the photos that they take. Don't you take anything for granted. Watch little ways that the enemy may try to slip in. Why? Because the Bible says that he's going to just come back one day when we least expect it, like a thief in the night, and we're not going to. If we're not ready, if we're not watching, if we're not praying, we're going to get caught up in this life. But I'm telling you, I believe with all of my heart that God wants us to be caught up in carrying our cross, taking our eyes off of those things and just being hyper-focused on the kingdom of God and whatever God... Why? Because there's a revival to be had in this world. It's so ripe. People are so longing. Every time you open up the news, you hear of tragedy upon tragedy upon tragedy upon tragedy upon tragedy. Now, you can get depressed, or you can say, this world is ripe for the harvest. But you see, as the Bible always said, and we'll never stop preaching it, the harvest has always been plenteous. But we've always had a lacking of people that were willing to carry their cross. So here's the three C's of revival. Number one, it's your cross. That's the first one. If you're not willing to carry what God has called you to place upon you, then really nothing else really matters. We just become a religious social club. Now, I'm not suggesting that we've got a bunch of religious social club people sitting here, because we don't. I'm going to tell you where I'm going to get better. I'm going to get better and work. I'm working really hard, if I can even find time to stay off the phone, at finding where people really feel their niche and getting them involved there. I've been searching my brain and my mind for weeks now on some answers. It keeps me up at night. I go to bed with it. I wake up with it. It's on my mind all day long. I'm going to do my part so I don't fail people. Because I know that there are people right here, under the sound of my voice, you feel kind of lost and frustrated. Don't worry. I'm coming with your cross. I mean it. I'm being honest. And as long as it's the cross that the Lord has called you to carry, you won't be frustrated. You'll rejoice in it. And everybody's cross is different. Everybody's cross is different. So the first C of revival is your cross. You have to decide tonight, if you have not decided, if you're willing to carry your cross or not. If you don't know what that cross is, you should come to me. The second C of revival is compassion. In Matthew 20 and 34, and I didn't give them my verses. Matthew 20, 34, it says, and he cometh, I'm sorry. So Jesus had compassion on them. These blind men came to him, and they pleaded for an answer. The answer begins with compassion. Now, I don't know, it's very hard to preach compassion, because compassion can't be learned. Compassion has got to be internal. Only God, I'm convinced, can you come play for me? I'm convinced that only God can birth compassion inside of you. And God cannot birth compassion in anybody that doesn't want to have compassion. Why do we run ourselves into the ground some days? Because we're overwhelmed with compassion for the lost. Every day you run into somebody and you see the pain in their eyes. You hear a story of a family that's falling apart. God forbid you read the news, it's all over. Every day you hear how this world is suffering. It'll be nothing than a story to you until you're willing to have compassion and carry your cross. My wife might get mad at me for divulging this, but I'm going to anyway. I ask you to forgive me in advance. She's like, oh God, what? Do you remember a couple weeks ago I said that there were women that were struggling with rebellion? Anybody remember that? Y'all afraid to say it? Yeah, I remember. She come home to me a couple days ago and she goes, you know, when you said that, she said, I'm like, I said, I'd expect that. But she said, now I see what you're talking about. And she began to see it in some people's lives. What happens, I'm not saying women are heathens, and I didn't say it's every woman, just for the record. If you want to know if it's you, just call me. I don't expect to get any phone calls. I'll be honest with you. What happens is Satan, he tries to get us focused on anything and everything other than our cross. Listen, ladies, some of you are out. Is that nursery thing on TV? Because I want to make sure those people in the nursery hear me too. You need to help your husband carry his cross. You might be the Simon in your husband's life. That's not a crime. God gave Adam a helpmeet. He gave him somebody to help him bear his cross. Do you know why you hurt so much, Brother Fred? Because a part of you was lost.
A spouse doesn't just become someone you live with. They become a part of you, body and soul. God joins us in mind and spirit and says, you two shall be one flesh. If you take one part of that flesh away, it's going to leave a void that nothing in this life can fill. Why are you saying that? Again, I really honestly have no clue why I went there. But I do know this. My wife has been my greatest source of strength. Hands down. I don't care if you disagree. To me, she's the greatest jewel in Ashtabula County. I'm serious. She has learned to deny herself. She puts herself always behind everybody and anybody else. And let me tell you something. I'm going to say this on Sunday if I remember. A good mother or a good woman is not based off what they do for you. It's what they do, period. Because they're not always doing for you, but they're always doing. Our world cannot exist without good women and good mothers. But moms / wives, your husband needs you to help him bear his cross in this last... Don't bail out on him because of feelings or emotions or you got a conflict of opinion. Opinions are like a dime a dozen. I wish they would be like pennies, going to become extinct before long. So I got to hurry because you want to eat. Your cross is the first C. Listen, there will be revival if you will take up your cross. The problem is only you and Jesus can make that a positive statement. Number two, compassion. You've got to pray. You've got to say, God, teach me to be a person of compassion. Everywhere Jesus went, he had compassion. Doesn't matter what they look like. Doesn't matter where they came from. The crowds were always following him. Do you know why the crowds followed Jesus? Because they knew he was a man of compassion. They sought him out. We won't have a problem filling the new building if we'll become people of compassion. People will know that's a church that won't judge me, that won't condemn me. And I mean truly won't judge me, no matter what my background, no matter where I've come from. But that's a church that will allow me to heal, to move on, and to be involved and serve God. Carry the cross. Compassion. And the third one is conviction. You see, they all go hand in hand. If you have compassion, you have conviction, you will be willing to take up your cross. If you're willing to take up your cross, you'll let compassion and conviction work in your life. If you have conviction, it will lead you to compassion. It's all intertwined. You can't separate the three. What was Jesus' conviction? Glad you asked. Matthew 26 and 40. He cometh unto the disciples and he findeth them asleep. A lack of conviction will cause you to become lazy. A lack of conviction will cause you to become apathetic. A lack of conviction will cause you to become bitter. And he said unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Conviction is putting your will on the burner to fulfill God's will in your life. Conviction is saying, God, I'd like to do this and this and that, but not my will.
It's easier to preach. It's harder to practice. Conviction will be the deal breaker. Conviction will push you into change in your life. It'll push you into unloading some things that you might enjoy, but you know God has been telling you, I don't want you to have that for whatever reason. Conviction will cause you to show up and clean on and do the grounds and whatever else you advertise for on Saturday. Conviction will push you out of the sanctuary and into the Sunday school class to teach this next group of kids that are up and coming. Conviction will cause you not to sin. I'm going to preach right at you for a second. Conviction will help you to shut your OnlyFans page off. Oh, are you telling me people in the church have OnlyFans? I know for a fact some do. And just watch for the sweat. You'll know who does too. And some of the inquiring minds, they're looking now. Conviction will cause you to want to be an upright man more than anything else in this world. Conviction will say, God, help me be a better husband. Help me be a better father. If it fits, help me to be a better preacher. Help me to be better. I'm talking to the men just for a moment. Conviction will drive all of that. Why? Because conviction will cause you to want to be holy as he is holy. See, so if you want to have revival, and what I'm worried about is those that don't care about having revival. I'm not suggesting they're even sitting here. But if you do, if you care, then you've got to have a cross, you've got to have compassion, and you've got to have conviction. Those three things, I promise you, will make a church explode in growth. And I don't know about you, but as I say that, I feel it in the Holy Ghost. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. And Brother Sister Klein, as you already know, with those three things, it doesn't matter if you have music or not. It doesn't matter what you've got. People are going to come because the Holy Ghost will honor those three things. It honors conviction, it honors compassion, and it honors the one that's willing to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Jesus. And I know, I've been telling you since last year that our church is changing. God's changing it. The change doesn't always happen easy, but it's happening and it's working. It's going to the better. And that's why I promise you, just trust me. Just trust me. This building program is less about the building and more about the heart of the giver. God is changing something in the DNA of the church through that. I promise you. I'm in the book. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And what it's doing is it is positioning our church for what God is preparing us for. Now, I'm telling you, I can see it in the Holy Ghost. Some of you, you know who I'm talking to, so I'm not going to call you out by name. But some of you, your marriage has been at war. I'm telling you, the Lord showed me some people in the Holy Ghost today. God showed me peace in your home. He showed me peace in your marriage. He showed me complete restoration. I take it. I claim it. I believe it. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to have it in my house. Healing is still there. It's still there. I preached it for you on Sunday. It's still there. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. It's there. But listen, if the church will stay focused on the three C's of revival, because as Jesus dropped his cross and Simon picked it up and he was still reeling under the weight of his weary body, he looked at them and he said, don't weep for me. Weep for your children. Weep for your future. He was saying, this is why I'm here and this is why I'm doing it. Don't feel sorry for me because of my cross. So if you would, stand with me. I really want some people that really feel those three C's of revival. You want it. I want you just to come out of your pew and just come forward. God, I want to be a part of that revival. I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we got to pray for it. God, give me conviction. Give me compassion. And God, if I'm not yet carrying my cross, show me where my cross is. Show me my cross. Show me my cross. Show me my cross. Everything the enemy does, from sin, lust of money, not just women or men, all of it is to distract us from carrying our cross, Brother Edwards. All of it is. What I said about Sister Karen and what I said about little Laura, I meant all of it. None of them were, they were not pursuing the wealth of this world. Even though God may have blessed them in ways, they were pursuing God in their life. Lord Jesus, I'm done. I pray that I have done this simple message justice tonight. God, if we're going to build, God, we've got to have the revival. We must have those three C's of revival. God, we must have conviction and we must have compassion. Lord, if you birth those two things in us, we'll be willing to pick up our cross. But God, bitter people, angry people cannot be people of compassion or conviction. God, take the bitterness out of us. Take the anger out of us. Take the frustration out of us, God. Take the pain out of us, God, that we might be people of conviction and compassion. And then we will take up whatever cross it is that you place upon us to bear. And we'll bear it with joy and not with grief. We'll do it, God, with all the joy in the world. And we'll thank you, because we'll see the results of the cross. Jesus, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, let that Holy Ghost fall on us right now. Let that conviction and that compassion. Listen to me. If you're fighting external things out of this life, you're fighting family, you're fighting friends, you're fighting sickness, Satan is using all of that to try and distract you from revival in your life, in your family, in your home. Please hear me. Those are not idle words. I feel that as a prophetic word to you in the Holy Ghost. And if you will have the three C's of revival, God will move in your life. Hallelujah.